morning, ladies and gentlemen. Time to get started. Good morning. This is the first meeting of the morning. I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Pat Lavin to give us today's safety briefing. Pat?
Good morning. In the case of an emergency, we're going to egress through the main doors or the closest exits illuminated by exit signs, which are located behind me. We're going to assemble on the lawn of the National Building Museum. There's an AED is available behind the guard station. Fire extinguishers are strategically placed throughout the building. If anyone needs it, there's restrooms beyond the guard shack on the left. Today's safety contact is if you see something, say something. In light of the recent attempted terror attack in New York City subways, it is important that we remain vigilant of our surroundings. So if you see something that you know that shouldn't be there or someone's behavior doesn't seem quite right, please say something. You can report suspicious activity to MTPD via text, which is 696873, which spells My MTPD. Call 202-962-2121 or 911. We're going to show you a very brief video of Homeland Security. See something, say something video.
Maybe you see something suspicious, but you don't want to get involved. It's nothing to think. Can you be sure? If you see something, say something. Report suspicious activity to local authorities.
Thank you, Mr. Lavin. Next thing we have here is the approval of the agenda, and I'd like to add the red line signal cable issue onto this, and that would make two items for today, the red line signal issue and automatic train operation. If there are no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. Any objections? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. We also need to approve the minutes from November 16, 2017, and since this is a new committee, this is now the Safety Service Delivery Committee. This combines the responsibilities of the former Customer Service Operations and Security Committee and the Safety Committee. We have minutes from both of these committees to approve from November 16, 2017. And I understand we can do them together. So can I get a motion to approve the November 16th minutes from the Safety Committee and the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee?
So
can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. The minutes are adopted. As I mentioned, as part of the board's realignment of its committee structure, this new committee combines the responsibilities of the Safety Committee with the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee. This realignment reinforces that the board's role is in safety oversight and helps sets the tone that safety is integrated with Metro's operations and that safety must come first among all the operational considerations. The committee members that have been assigned here are myself, Robert Lobby, as chair representing the federal government. Ms. Keturah Harley is vice chair from Maryland. Mr. Jeff Marushin is from the District of Columbia, and Mrs. Catherine Hudgens from Virginia. And those are the four official members of the Safety and Service Delivery Committee. This morning we have, as I said, two items on our agenda that reflect this realignment of safety and operations, and we're going to have a discussion on the steps underway to analyze the transition of automatic train operation, but first we're going to get an update from Mr. Lavin and Mr. Leader on the red line signal issue. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Lavin.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you and good morning. As requested by the board, I would like to update you on our last-minute notification of emergency work for this weekend. First, I would like to tell our customers your safety and the operation of this system is first and foremost the number one priority for Metro. We are diligently working to schedule and plan this work to ensure we correct this condition and complete this work by Monday morning. We thank you for your patience and want to remind all, although our performance has improved, since SATRAC was completed, much more work, including capital investment, is needed in our system to ensure we maintain a state of good repair. Now I would like to start by explaining some of the history behind Megarin ATC cables. Prior to 2009, there was no ATC cable Megarin program. Post-2009, we commenced the execution of a capitally funded ATC cable Megarin program, CIP-251-04. This was planned to be in two phases based on priorities. In the first priority was to begin Megarin some 7,500 track circuit cables. This work was completed in 2014. In 2015, we began phase two, which started, which entailed the Megarin of some 2,100 of all other ATC cables. And these cables include cables that run from the train control room to train control room, cables that run from the train control room to our switches and our switch heaters and our signals. The cables range in conductor capacity from 2 to 37. In October of 2017, our new general superintendent, Mike Cooper, directed his team to begin performing a quality audit of some historical records of the Phase 2 ATC cable Megarin program. And that audit was to take place for all work that was done prior to January of 2017. The reason why that was picked in January of 2017, we had a new superintendent who took over the program. Mike liked the information that was being documented at that time, wanted to see what the historical data showed. In early of December 2017, Mike's team delivered the results of the audit. The team reviewed some 1,435 records. Of the 1,435 records, there were 16 records that raised some concern in Mike's eyes. Of the 16 suspect records, 7 have been retested. 3 passed. 2 require non-urgent replacement. We were going to observe them and program them. And 2 other cables that were tested failed. And these are the cables that run between Brookland and Tacoma. Immediately following their failure, we instituted what is known in the transportation world an absolute block, which limits one train in the block area at all times. This is done with field supervision as well as coordination through our ROC. So on 2-6, the first cable was tested bad. That was between B05 and B06. That's Brookland to Fort Totten. And then on Sunday, December 10th, the second cable was tested, and that was found to be bad. And then we instituted our second absolute block. On December 12th, a decision was made to execute a weekend shutdown to replace all cables. In discussing the issue with Mike, we asked him, can you determine where the faults are? You have to realize between this area, we are looking at about 19,000 feet of cable. The cable stretches in about 1,000-foot increments. They are then spliced together. The defects could be in the splicing. The defects could be along the cable. And speaking to Mike, we realized to allow them to continue to investigate and determine exactly where the faults are would not be the most prudent action to be taken. So a decision was made to shut down the red line this weekend and to renew the cable by laying new cable on the surface and then creating new splices and tying them in and testing the circuits. At this time, ATC personnel will be supported by contractors on 12-hour shifts on the weekends. All 37C cable that is needed for the project is on hand. All additional material, including junction boxes, instead of going back to individual splices, what we're going to be doing is installing above-ground junction boxes where they can be tied in and they're weatherproof, so it will the cable should last longer. And last night we began dropping the cable's reels along the right-of-way. So we are preparing and ready to execute for this weekend. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I just have a couple of questions. Could you just explain the function of maggoring, you know, what are you looking for? What's the process that you have to go in order to magger a cable?
So in a 37-conductor cable, when you design, you know, your circuits, typically you'll have conductors that are actually in use and you have spare conductors. So when we magger our cables, which is an industry standard, what you're looking for is a reduction or a degradation in that cable. The degradation in that cable could be from a poor splice. It could be from a crimped conductor, years of being in use. But basically what you're looking for is the ohms. And there's a certain value we're looking for, anything under 200,000 ohms. We deem that conductor not sufficient, and then we would utilize a spare. In this case, the conductor, the cables that we found were in such a degraded state, we had no additional spares to use, so the decision was made to install the absolute block and replace the cables.
Could I just jump in? So just for the layman, Joe might be speaking a little higher. Basically, each conductor is coated with a piece of insulating property, like rubber, and you're measuring the insulation resistance between each wire and then that wire to ground. So just to verify the quality of the insulating properties.
So when a cable fails, you begin to get bleed over from one cable to the other or one cable to ground. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on this issue? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Albee. I'm not any longer a member of your committee, but I do take a continuing interest in the work of the Safety Committee, having served here for a number of years. I just have two questions to give a little more common understanding of what's going on. Where do the cables run? Are they running along the sides of the tunnels, or are they running on the floor? Where physically does one find the cable in the system?
In this instance, they're running below ground, and they come out periodically inside of cable vaults or pits, but they can run along the wall. It depends on the configuration, but in this instance, they're running outdoors on the ground.
And so when they run underground, when they come up, they're coming up someplace in the tunnel where there's a junction box for the connection?
In this instance, it's a pit, so it's below the grade of the track, and that's where the splices would be.
All right, and then when there is a failure that you can analyze as a result of meggering, what's the worst-case scenario from that? Does that result in a loss of potential power to the track and the train can stop, or is it limited to the ATO control system whereby a train could go beyond the block and not have a red signal actually stopping it?
For these cables, the communication cables will identify where the train is and also provide speed commands to the train. But depending on what type of cable it is, they serve different functions. The cables that actually failed, the ones that we're replacing this weekend, that's what their function are for.
All right, so the safety issue here is that the train operator loses the speed command and could exceed the speed command in the tunnel?
No, it could be different things. It could be we lose location. It could be they lose speed command, or they could get the wrong speed command. So that's why we instituted an absolute block, making sure that one train is in the area at all times.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yes.
Why the block? Thank you very much.
Yes. How often are these cables tested? What's the regularity?
Phase two, we're hoping to complete in about another 18 months, and then after that, they will go on a regular cycle. I'll get back to the board. I believe it's going to be every 4 years, but I have to get back to you on that.
Every 4 years?
I believe, but I'll have to get back to you on that. Ten, I'm sorry, it's 10. It's 10 years, every 10 years.
Every 10 years?
Every 10 years, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you. Well, let's move on to the next item on the agenda. And I believe this one belongs to you. Is that right, Mr. Lavin?
I'll do this one. Okay, so this is automatic train operation. So, As the slide denotes, we will be providing an update on automatic train operation system. Before we delve into the update of the status, I'd like to talk briefly about ATO history and the automatic systems that are behind train movement. I see we have some new board members. I want to kind of give a history and how the system works before we get into the evaluation process. So the automatic train function has been utilized at WMATA since its opening over 40 years ago. Some level of automatic train protection has been in effect up until the Fort Totten collision in June of 2009. Since then, ATO has been in use for a short period of time, which was along the red line using 8-car trains during rush hour only and in only the normal direction of traffic. The full functionality of the system was not tested at that time. With that said, trains have essentially been in a manual operation since the Fort Totten incident. The next few slides will review the overall automatic train control system and the role of each subcomponent. So automatic train control is the entire system, and it's made up of three subsystems. Automatic train control network provides for the safe and efficient movement of trains through a series of track circuits and integrated logic for the routing controls and speed controls governing train movement. The three major subcomponents of the ATC network are automatic train protection, automatic train supervision, and automatic train operation. Automatic train protection, or ATP, is the system that provides safe train separation regardless of whether the train is in automatic or being operated manually by the train operator. It should be noted that while the train is in manual control, the ATP is still active, and any violation of a speed command by the operator will cause the train to automatically reduce speed, thereby resulting in the safe separation of trains or automatic train protection, i.e., the system will override the actions of the train operator. Next is automatic train supervision. This system is responsible for monitoring and controlling the rail system to ensure it conforms to the intended schedule and the traffic pattern in order to optimize railway operations and service reliability. Automatic train supervision predominantly provides dispatching functions, headway management, the routing of trains, and assist in maintaining adherence to schedule. Next is automatic train operation. The automatic train operation system uses the integrated logic between the wayside system, where the train speeds and braking are regulated automatically without requiring the intervention of the operator. It does not mean that trains are operated without a train operator being on board. In our system, we still place a train operator on the train. ATO needs inputs from the automatic train protection system for positive train separation, and it needs the ATS function for the automatic routing features and dispatching features. ATO can be used to provide train berthing and door commands at stations as well. So as discussed earlier, ATO was disabled after the Fort Totten incident. It is important to note that ATO is not a safety critical system. The safety critical systems are performed by the ATP, or the automatic train protection system, which is in effect at all times. For a short period of time in 2015, ATO was used along the red line, but with 8-car trains during rush hours and in the normal direction of traffic. This activity was discontinued in the fall of that year due to more pressing concerns, such as the need for track work and roadway worker protection. There are benefits to automatic train operation. As you can see on the slide, there are several obvious benefits from running an ATO, including smoother ride, improves schedule adherence, improves power utilization, reduces maintenance cost, i.e. flat wheels and master controllers, reduces the potential for red signal overruns, and also reduces the potential for wrong side door openings.
Thank you.
I thought everybody could hear me, but apparently not. Okay. There are several significant operation changes that have taken place since 2009. Namely, we have modified our roadway worker protection program by implementing such things as an advanced mobile flagger. There have been ATC system upgrades, such as the Gen 4 track circuits. In addition, there's changes in the workforce, where many of the existing workforce has never worked in an active automatic train operation environment. The automatic train review will be a two-phased approach. It'll be an evaluation and implementation. WMATA will be contracting an independent consultant to perform a safety analysis of returning to ATL. The safety analysis for the evaluation will consist of a review of past accidents that have been related to ATO, determine if similar failures have been mitigated or future action is required. Analysis will be based on having ATS low speeds of 14 miles an hour instituted by the ROC for non-rush hour manual operations, including non-revenue hours, as a means to mitigate accidental ATO operations. So what that means in English is we want the central ability to limit the speed of someone in ATO when our workers are on the track during non-rush hour periods, and it's enforced. The analysis of the transition from ATO to manual operations in conjunction with RWP safeguards so that worker safety is assured. This shall include but is not limited to the following: potential failures of wayside or vehicle that would affect train-to-wayside communications, and unauthorized ATO operations between stations. So these are some of the types of hazards we're now analyzing to ensure roadway worker protection. In addition to that, we need a validation of ATS and ATO functionality to ensure it's working as designed. To do that, we need to create a test pad and to validate all the functions, such as verifying station stopping, verifying train berthing parameters, both long and center stops, identify all ROC commands and feedbacks are functioning properly, identify any abnormal conditions where trains would be required to exit ATO, and verify adequate procedures are in place. In addition to that, we have to review all the standard operating procedures for ATC, car equipment, ROC, and ARTRA operations. The evaluation should provide us with proposed technical enhancements and discover deficiencies and recommend equipment software enhancements, if any, to provide the following functions. ROC displays to identify trains that are in ATO outside of authorized time periods. Real-time reports and notification of ROC personnel of trains in ATO outside of authorized time periods. Sufficient bandwidth to communicate all ATS information or automatic train supervision information. Enabling of performance levels to ensure that we can maintain a 14-mile-per-hour speed restriction during non-rush hours. After that, we will be provided with findings and recommendations in the report by department, and then we will make a final determination if we're going to pursue ATO. If we decide to pursue ATO and we move into the implementation, the first thing we'll have to do is a cost-benefit analysis, given the current budget constraints and resources. The implementation plan will include a verified item list that will list the sequence of events, timelines, and required actions to restore ATO, including training and SOPs. The consultant will track the performance through the duration of the implementation. Training material will be developed, and a high-level presentation shall be created to familiarize management and oversight of the functionalities of ATO. And then we'll have to certify staff on both training for ATC, car equipment, ARTRA, and ROC management. Additional considerations is do we want to consider going to an alternative technology, communication-based train control, or CBTC, is a railway signaling technology system that makes use of telecommunications between trains and track equipment for the traffic management and infrastructure control. By the means of the CBTC systems, the exact position of a train is known to be more accurate, and with that, than those of a traditional signal system. That gives you the opportunity for a more efficient use of track space. We believe we're going to send that out to a consultant, and we should have a study completed by 2019 with regards to the feasibility or the practicality of implementing CBTC at WMATA. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Lavender. Very interesting. The system, the automatic train operation system, and really the whole train control system is this system the same system that was put in place when WMATA was first opened, or has it been updated over the years? Do you know?
Well, there have been upgrades. For example, you have to look at the Generation 4 track circuits. They may pit out a different frequency, so then we have to now see with ATO what are the implications of those upgrades. You can't assume that it's going to be 100% compatible and may need some type of modification. That would be the purpose of the evaluation.
All the equipment that operates on WMATA now, including the 7,000 cars, all of these are ATO capable, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, certainly this isn't a question of just flipping a switch and turning it back on. There's a lot of preparation work to do, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So how long would it take to transition back to an ATO type of operation once the decision is made?
That I can't answer for you until we get the evaluation.
Okay.
That part of the evaluation, I believe, would tell us what that implementation strategy may look like.
But if we're going to start today building the WMATA system, we would try to go to communications-based train control like what you showed in your last slide. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that part?
If we wanted to put the latest and greatest system, it would be a CBTC system like you showed in your last slide. Is that correct?
That would be one option.
Okay.
We would we put it out for an RFP to see what else is in the industry, but that would be one option.
Well, certainly as part of your evaluation, potentially looking at the train control system that's in place, it does have some age on it, whether it's obsolete or whether it's better to go in a different direction. I think that would be an interesting question for your evaluation, whether or not we are truly interested in automated train operation, whether or not we need an upgraded system or not. That'll be considered.
That will be the second evaluation that's going out in 2018 to look at the other technologies.
Any questions from the committee members?
Yes.
Okay, let's start here with Keturah.
Can you tell me the percentage of other systems that are either currently using ATO, restoring their ATO system, existing system, and or upgrading?
Take a guess. Okay. So I don't know the percentages, but I can tell you all the properties. For example, New York City Transit, where I came from, obviously, they're rolling out CBTC for a variety of reasons. It also coincides with the retirement of legacy signal systems, so the timing is good for that. That is a 40-year process at New York City Transit. I can tell you that BART has a very similar system to what we have here with the same type of design. They're moving to CBTC. There are segments of Philadelphia Scepter where I believe there's a loop inside the center of the city. They've introduced CBTC there because of a number of collisions that have occurred there. And I know there's European properties that use CBTC as well. So, but I couldn't break it down by percentages.
And has the training for operators or any employees that are associated with the actual physical movement of the trains, even though ATO has ended, is that currently still a part of their training procedures? Is it talked about in any capacity, even though it's no longer being used? Has training been updated to show that, or is it still part of their package?
I believe it was part of the 2015 training because of a brief period that was rolled out on a red line. I don't believe it's part of the training today, but I'd have to confirm that.
So any type of movement to a system would necessitate training for all employees, specifically new onboards?
It would have to be any employee that's touched by ATO. So
how long would that training be?
I couldn't answer that off the top of my head because depending on the discipline, whether it's ATC, car equipment, or ARTRA, there would be different training intervals. And I don't have that answer for you.
And you said when the study is done, what is the timeline that you're looking for to get these answers back?
I believe it's in 2018, but I don't know which quarter.
2018. Thank you.
Existing and new employees, they would all have to get refreshed because it's been so many years or introduced to it.
Thank you. Just a question. In one of your slides, it's the one that's titled Automatic Train Operation. It's 18 of 28 in my sequence. The first bullet says automatic train operation does not mean no operator. And my question to you is why? The general manager hosted a conference last week of UITP, and in their materials they point out that 59 lines designated to be operated without staff on board of the trains worldwide. And to respond to Ms. Harley's question, some of those places are Paris, Barcelona, Rome, Sao Paulo, Hong Kong, Seoul, Singapore, where one or the whole system operates without any operator. And so I guess my question is our system, when it was designed, capable of operating the metro system without operators?
Okay, so I'm going to answer that to the best of my knowledge. I don't know what it was designed for 40 years ago. I suspect it could be run without an operator. But generally, the properties that you're speaking of, they typically have other infrastructure designs, such as platform screen doors, where you would say if someone was intoxicated or incapacitated and they were to fall off the platform, on a lot of those platforms on other properties, there's a platform screen door, so you wouldn't physically encroach upon the right-of-way. In an environment like ours where we do not have that infrastructure, if somebody were to get sick and stumble off a platform and land on the track, you'd want the intervention of a human to stop the train in those types of circumstances. So that's something you make on a corporate decision.
I'm very familiar with those barriers because I was in Shanghai Metro last month and met with those folks and saw how the system operates, and those systems are in place that sort of like as you would use on a people mover at Dulles Airport or Denver, Atlanta, it has that barrier between people and actually boarding the trains, and those doors open when the train pulls in. So I guess my question then is the evaluation and the study you're commissioning going to look at either our ATO system or this CBTC system at WMATA to be operated without operators as a real ATO system?
Okay, that is not part of the scope of the study, and that was something that we would need to discuss internally as management because there are other advantages of having an operator on board. For example, if there was smoke in a tunnel, an operatorless train would not detect that. For example, if there was some type of terrorist event and you needed staff to conduct an evacuation, your operator train wouldn't give you that. So those are all the considerations we would have to weigh before we would bring it to the board to reevaluate what our approach to train operation would be.
Well, I hope you will do that because at least I, as one board member, seeing what's happening around the world, would hope that we are looking towards the second half of the 21st century and not looking to do a study based on technology that's in place at WMATA now or was in place when the system was designed in the 1960s and implemented in the 1970s.
With all due respect, Mr. Goldman, the system in New York can be run operator, without an operator. We, at New York made the decision to keep an operator on the train because we are a high target for a terrorist event. So, that's something we'd have to decide as an organization and as a board what would be the best way to proceed.
Well, what I'm saying is I would hope you would bring something back to the board before you go ahead fully with this evaluation as to what its scope is so you get a broader sense of what strategically board members would like to see in their system in 10, 15, or 20 years. Thank you.
I just want to make one comment. I think Mr. Goldman brings up some good points. I know that this is the first step just to assess where we are and what we have, and I would hope that we continue this discussion as we get more information on what's possible, because I think this is important for the system. There are advantages to automated train operation, including more capacity on the system without building more track or additional tracks. And so I think as time goes on, that those are going to be issues that are going to be very interesting to us. How can we run more trains closer together and still maintain the right level of safety? So thank you very much for your presentations today. Do we have any more questions or any more business for this committee? Seeing none, this committee is adjourned.